Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, like it or not, on this Wednesday morning. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic, Nate Collins will be dropping by in 20 minutes. We moved the Heisman watch from Tuesday to Wednesday since we were not on the air yesterday. We will have power rankings, NFL futures, awards. Was looking at those markets, Sam. There's a lot of interesting numbers that I want to talk about. Maybe a long shot or two that I want to bring up. Will Brinson will drop by. Our first look of the week at Survivor. I don't know if we're going to continue that. If you look around the landscape, there's like 5% left with those that started in week one. So maybe you're not talking to a lot of people, but we can do that another production meeting on the air. How you doing this morning, Sam Panionovic?
Well rested, as one would imagine, after doing 7 to 10 last night. Very well rested to do 9 to noon today. I was thinking about this as we asked Paul in our pre-show meeting that was very short. At one point, we have to power rank our favorite moments of the show. That has to happen at some point down the stretch as we play out the string. But you know what? I feel good this morning, because Illinois basketball is unbelievably talented. Did you watch last night?
Of course I watched last night. I watched on the main TV. I didn't really watch multiple monitors. I was just watching one thing. I know a lot of big college hoops fans probably did last night. But we also have this challenge of, oh, wait, I've got Fubo on this TV. I don't have Fubo on that TV. But at least the big games, at least in our world, we're on FS1, so that was a good thing. Yeah, I watched the end of Wake, Michigan, that game going into overtime. So you didn't get the start of Illinois there. They pushed that to FS2, but I did watch Illinois, Texas Tech as well. It was cool. Good decision there by college basketball. I don't know if it was planned that way, but Veterans Day, you're not going against the NFL. There's no college football anywhere to be found. Let's make this a big night where we showcase a lot of our ranked teams, and that's what they did. A couple of big matchups, obviously Louisville, Kentucky, and Illinois, Texas Tech, another one of them. It's very different. I think now schools are learning in college football that you've got to play these tougher non-conference games, and there are some that believe, let's just play cupcakes, but you know this as well as anybody. In college basketball, you've got to be tested. Everything goes down to those metrics, those numbers, and you've got to have some impressive games. It might decide things in the very end, your seeding, whether or not you're in or not. And they won't remember how it really went down, but they'll look back and say, well, you know what? It looks like they did hang, I think, in this one game in November, and that could help you down the road.
You had 13 of the top 25 teams in the country playing last night. And honestly, I thought that was the story of the sports world last night. A lot of people will say the college football rankings, which I know we're going to talk about, but those rankings don't matter because the rankings are going to change for 6 more weeks, right? Well, maybe not 6, maybe it's 5 at this point. I don't really care. We're going to talk about them, and I have spreads for all the 4 first round potential matchups. The NBA card was whack. Hockey is whatever. And, you know, there's no NFL. You had so many good college basketball teams playing last night. And it is funny because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not watching it until January or February. Okay, we'll watch it now and we'll take notes and we'll have an idea of who we want to bet in the conference tournaments and in the big dance. We're not studying and cramming for the test in March. We're watching and following. And I was really, really locked in last night. But YouTube TV pissed me off last night, man, because I'm trying to get a quad box going, and I was only presented with one option. They also wouldn't let me build a quad box off of college games, which I don't know why. So the only quad box
– so stupid.
Yeah. So the only quad box that they offered – and I'll go from top left and I'll go clockwise. top left was Michigan Wake Forest leading into Illinois and Texas Tech. Fine. Top right was a hockey game, Toronto Boston. Bottom right was the Celtics and Sixers. Okay, 3 for 3. And then they decided YouTube TV, Anderson Cooper, 360, bottom left. I'm like, yeah, of course. Because that completes my quad box. I need to have Anderson Cooper on my four screens. Thank you, YouTube TV. Great quad box.
So that's based on your viewing habits.
No, it's not. A big CNN guy. I knew you were going to say that, and it's not true. Fake news.
Why does it pop up? Okay, my counter, my proof here is that on my quad box, because what wife and daughter are watching will pop up as the fourth option for me. Yes, I had 3 sporting events, and I've got a bitch about something there too. My fourth option was Holiday Baking Championship. Whatever channel that's on, I know they've been watching it. I guess it's a series, whatever. I'm surprised Dancing with the Stars didn't pop up. Oh, wait, that's because Dancing with the Stars is on ABC. See, so now the moms and the daughters are getting pissed too. So I wonder if that pressure is going to help get us there. But yeah, no, it is based on your viewing habits. Otherwise, the Holiday Baking Championship would not be the fourth option for my quad box.
Did you apply your $20 credit yesterday?
I did apply the $20 credit. Here's what else also sucked. Like, as if I couldn't get more upset with YouTube TV. So I tried this on all the TVs I have. I don't know what the issue was. If you see the preview of what was the NBA game on NBC, it was the Sixers and I'm blanking on the other
Celtics.
It doesn't matter. Celtics. Okay. And there was like a little location thing in the bottom right corner of the preview. And I didn't know what that was about. Every time I tried to put NBC on one of my monitors, it was going to be like a second screen because college basketball had the main screen for me last night. It wouldn't go to it. It would say something. It couldn't pick up my location. No matter what I did, it couldn't pick up my location. So I couldn't watch that on YouTube TV last night if I wanted to. It's like, what is it's NBC. It's not even an ABC Disney thing. Now that's an issue with me. So I didn't even watch any NBA. But to your point about college basketball being the number one story, I agree with you. The college football rankings are fun to talk about. It leads to some fun conversations and maybe we land on some bets we hadn't thought about previously. And for the most part, it means nothing. And I can't wait to talk about Miami because that means nothing, people. Don't worry about it. They're not getting in. But if you turn on ESPN, if you are able to watch it, it's like college basketball didn't exist. All they did, first 8 minutes I had to look because I was just blown away. First 8 minutes of every sports center was NBA. No college basketball, no college football rankings, none of that. They're just all in. They think everybody's in on the NBA in November.
No, nobody
Ridiculous.
Cares. Well,
I don't care.
Nobody. I don't either. I mean, you got guys already skipping games for load management, and even Luka, who's been unbelievable, has missed a handful of games. And you're like, oh, okay, well, the Lakers have played 10 games. He's played 6 games. Interesting to see if that kind of plays through. And there were some injuries that he was sort of working through, but nothing serious. Obviously, he's scoring almost 40 points a night, but these guys just don't play every night anymore. And I had this conversation the other day. A buddy of mine is going to be in Atlanta with his son, and the Lakers are coming into Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Well, they play the night before. So he's like, do I even want to risk it? Do I want to buy tickets? Do I want to get the LeBron Luka tickets when they both might not play? These are what NBA fans are thinking about. When you're scheduling games, you have to look at the schedule. You have to look at how many games it is and how many nights. Do they play the night before? Do they play the night after? Which team is better? Because if you're playing the Pelicans on a Wednesday and the Thunder on a Thursday, your stars are going to play on Thursday, not on Wednesday. Although LeBron might miss the Thunder game because he's a coward. Anyways, I don't care about the NBA in November. I just don't. I was watching a ton of college. I was locked in. Gonzaga beat the absolute snot out of Creighton. That number moved from 9.5 to 12. Creighton was up, or Creighton was down 30 in the second half. And Illinois, let's put a ribbon on Illinois. They shot 7 of 22 from three. That's not really a great night. I mean, it's 33%, give or take, but they shoot 7 of 22 from three and still score 81 points. Peja Stojakovic's kid has 23 and has the game-winning block at the end of the game. I was very excited. And then this morning I wake up and I'm like, damn it. Damn it.
Push.
Seth Davis hoops. If Illinois ever gets fully healthy and in rhythm, their ceiling is the roof. Arguably the most talented roster in the country.
Here we go.
Yep.
That's not the guy you wanted doing that either.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That's bad.
Now they'll lose in the second round to UC Santa Barbara. Can't wait.
I think, though, his job is to promote Illinois after last night because he was at the desk. So I think that's part of his job. I'm trying to make you feel a little bit better. So Joel Klatt ruined your football season, and Seth Davis is ruining your basketball season, right? Is that what's happening here? Yes. You don't want to say that on the record. I hear you.
Illinois is loaded, though, offensively. Yeah. KenPom says they're a top five offense. Not that KenPom is the Bible, but he does study these advanced analytics and drive the numbers home. They've got so many weapons, and it's exciting for me because, as we've talked about, they have so many Serbians on the team. They have so many Serbians. Even my dad is texting me about Illinois.
I know.
Illinois on the night.
Like, with every player, I'm like, I could barely pronounce his name. I could barely pronounce that his name, and I'm an Ostrowski. It was making me laugh thinking about that as well. One thing that you miss by being on air is you miss the end of Wake in Michigan. Michigan survives at home in overtime. Benetti was on the call. Your guy. We got extra Benetti with overtime last night. So that was fun. And Louisville, Kentucky, the hatred is real. And they do this once a year. Louisville has the bragging rights right now over Kentucky. So that was fun to watch on a random Tuesday, early November, to see those two teams go at it. Two teams that we'll hear a lot from moving forward.
AJ DeBonsa, if you haven't heard that, he's the freshman on BYU. He's projected to be a number one pick. When we get to the NBA draft, there's a really good chance he goes number one. He didn't even play well last night. And he still had 18 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, a steal, only 3 turnovers. This kid is a monster, Joe. And he's actually from the Boston area. Mm-hmm. By the end of the season, I think he's going to be averaging about 12. He is a freak. And you want to talk about, you know, a 6'10", 230-pound monster. He's going to be the number one pick. And I saw a little bit of him last night in between all the things I was doing. He didn't even play well, 18-7. So why do we watch college basketball in November? For players like that and for games like we had last night.
Sammy P., you asked the question, is DePaul back? I answer you, well, they lost to Buffalo as an 18.5-point favorite last night.
No. Dang, must have missed that one. It slipped through the cracks. I didn't see that one. Are you going to the game, by the way? Northwestern plays Michigan at Wrigley. Are you going? Football?
When?
Saturday.
They do?
Yeah.
Didn't even know.
Chicago's Big Ten team is going to paint the marquee purple and meow at everybody.
No, I'm not going. Why do they keep getting those games? Nobody cares about Northwestern.
Meow!
Nobody. So ridiculous. No, I'm not going. Not interested in going. What? We'll break it down a little bit more later on. The college football rankings, you know, which means very little. What was top of mind to you? Was it Indiana staying at 2 after struggling throughout much of that game at Penn State but pulling out the victory? Was there someone else down the board that stood out? What's your headline?
I think A&M is underslotted at 3. How do you have an SEC team that's won every single game and gone to Notre Dame and won? How are they 3? I think you can make a case for them being 1. Not that Ohio State doesn't deserve to be 1, but I think Texas A&M should be 1 or 2. And I know we won't get this matchup likely, but can you imagine if we get Oregon and Notre Dame in Eugene, where do you start that total? 60 what?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they want that. Because you look at that little triangle, the winner of that would face Ohio State. It's a great first-round matchup, and you want one of those, and you want a great atmosphere and all that. But do you want two of those three teams being eliminated in the first two rounds? I don't think you do. I don't, because I think any of those teams could be in for a long run. And you look around, the rest of the bracket can't say the same. It's silly what's happening with Miami. It's so silly. To put them as 11, you're going to get the ACC champ in there somewhere. Miami's not going to be in the ACC championship game. And they're slotting them in at 11. They'll say numbers and all that. It's pretty silly. They're 15th overall. They're not going to be in the playoff. I don't know why they're playing this game, but that's what they're doing so far. We'll talk more about that coming up. Joe O, Sammy P, Nate Collins joins us next. We'll talk some NFL on the other side. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, every Wednesday, Nate Collins drops by at Big N 98 over on social media, Greenlight Podcast, a BetMGM podcast as well. Nate, don't worry, we won't bring up any of the stuff we were talking about off air.
I might.
Oh, man. Okay, oh, wait. Man.
We'll see how long the segment goes. We'll see how we're feeling.
Yeah.
I guess I have to start off with the bad stuff. We always start off with Jaguars for you.
Oh, Travis, I had a terrible weekend for all my teams, man. But the Jags, it is so disappointing to hear that Travis Hunter is out for the season. So for people who don't know, I used to play for the Jaguars, and the past few years, they do a great job with their alumni, and they, like, invite us back to a game. And the game that I'm going to is the December, this first weekend in December, them versus the Colts, which is going to be a big time game. But the fact that I'm not going to get to see Travis Hunter play in person, I've been a fan of his since college, so it's disappointing I'm not going to get to see him play this year. And my Jags, man, like, I'm excited about Jakobi Meyers. I think a few more weeks of practice, I think he's going to obviously help our offense out tremendously. But our defense without takeaways, like, we just look a little shaky. So hopefully we can go back to finding some way somehow to take the ball away more and give Trevor Lawrence a few extra possessions, because we're going to need it.
And now Houston's alive. There they are. They're down 29-10, and they're only one game under 500. Their season looked like it was over. And now maybe they have an outside shot at making the postseason. You said all your teams had a bad weekend, not Chicago. Caleb balled out again in the fourth quarter.
He don't care about the Bears.
Very, very true. Wow. No, I do care. I do care about the Bears. Don't do me like that, guys. Don't do me like that. We were just talking about Chandler Morris at UVA. So, like, everyone knows what happened there. Had high hopes. Still have high hopes. We control our destiny with that. But the Bears are playing amazing, and I said it, I think, a few weeks ago on this show that Caleb, he just has to do a little bit of growing up, but I think everyone is kind of overreacting, and it's one of those things where, like, when quarterbacks are picked as high as they are, like, it there's a reason for it, and you don't always get paired up in the right situation as a quarterback with offensive coordinators or whatever it may be. So it might take you time to grasp and get into things the right way, but I just feel like Caleb now is kind of settling down. He's still, some of the easier throws he's still having issues with, but I can't lie. Like, he is electric to watch make some of these passes that I'm not going to say, I hate when people compare it quarterbacks, but like the Mahomes type cross body throws and some of his electricity with his feet, I think is maybe surprising people. And I'm excited for the Bears and I'm happy for them. And it's just a funny tale of two stories. I always say winning cures everything in the NFL. And it's just funny now seeing the locker room videos after the Bears, their sideline. Just like if you go back to the games when they were losing or at the beginning of the season, it's just night and day, the reactions of everyone. And that's what winning does. And that's good for them. Hopefully they can keep it going.
Yeah, I don't remember Eberflus getting the locker room that hyped where they were playing hard for Eberflus, to your point.
Yep,
no doubt about that. I don't think you claim the Giants. You claim the Bears, you claim the Jaguars, but the Giants, there's a lot going on, man. What did you think about the Daboll firing? So I guess the Bears got Daboll fired, if things come full circle. You've got that, and now they're saying, okay, if Dart is not good to go with the concussion, which makes sense, usually miss a week, then it's going to be Jameis Winston. It's not going to be Russell Wilson. And then they're going against the Packers, a team that we can get into as well.
I love it. I mean, I love it for my old East-West Shrine Game quarterback, Mike Kafka, stepping in. And it's one of those things where, hey, I feel like everyone isn't really on Russell Wilson's side right now. And him coming in the past couple of games, it hasn't really looked well for the offense. So I feel like why not throw Jameis in there? Jameis really hasn't been in there this year, so there's not a lot of tape on him. So maybe that's an advantage on the offensive side. And I just feel like with Jameis, you can probably, with a quarterback like Kafka and a play caller like Kafka, I feel like you probably can have everything open in the playbook with Jameis there. And hopefully they can get something going. It is a tough task against Green Bay, but maybe that's something. I can see Giants maybe rallying and finding a way to cover the 7 points. I don't know about them winning this game, but I can see that defense. That defense can really heat up any game. And just the way Green Bay has been playing, I feel like they can maybe heat Jordan Love up and really control this game and not make it so much about the Giants offense, but more about how good the Giants defense is.
I remember watching Mike Kafka. I was 15. Our high school was playing at St. Rita, 77th and Western. He shredded us, man. He shredded us. And we're good. We've got the most state titles in the history of Illinois. We weren't good that day. He shredded us, bro. And you guys got to play together in the Shrine Bowl. That's awesome.
Amazing. Amazing. I just remember him. I believe he was our starting quarterback. And I was just telling you guys before the show, the best thing is on the green light set, I have my college helmet. And during the All-Star game, it's like a thing. You give out your teammates your different decals from your school. So I gave guys out V-Sabers, and I have the Northwestern N on my helmet, and that was from Kafka. So I definitely remember that, and it's definitely cool to see him get an opportunity to get a shot at coaching. I mean, you never know when your shot is going to come. Like I think for a head coach wise in the NFL, and you never know if it's going to come this way, but this might be his only shot, or this might propel him to keep the job or find a head coaching job somewhere else. So I'm excited for him, and hopefully it goes well.
Yeah, we certainly see that in recent years. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, our weekly guest here, Nate Collins. Nate, don't want to pour salt on an open wound. You mentioned it was a rough weekend. Why don't you tell everybody what happened with your 225-1 parlay that you had live?
Which one was it?
The one you tweeted on Sunday morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, which I totally forgot about this. I totally forgot about this. What did I forget what I needed. Do you remember?
You had Jonathan Taylor 2+ touchdown hits. Yeah. Taylor, 170-plus rushing and receiving yards, hits. Algier, touchdown, hits. We're hits. 3 for 3. The fourth leg you need is Drake London. You needed 125-plus, and he was 21 receiving yards short. And I think he exited at one point in the game, right?
And the game went into overtime. And yeah. I found out in real time, which I don't understand. So two-point conversions is just no stats. It's just no stats at all. It's no stats. I wanted those 2 yards for Drake London. He caught that pass. Why can't he get – it didn't hit. But why doesn't he get those 2 yards? And like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But that was – I watched that game, and I'd never hoped for an overtime so bad in the game just to get some extra possessions. And then the way that overtime went – I thought it was dead, and we come back from the commercial, and they said they did something. That's the game they did something wrong with the coin toss or whatever it was.
That was the 10-second runoff. Was there going to be 1 second? There was a lot of confusing things going on that international game.
But in the overtime, I was like, it's dead, and then they get the ball, and it's not dead. I'm like, for sure they're going to keep just going to Drake London, and then they didn't. And, man, $2.50 – to turn into $1,000, the start of a Sunday would have been amazing, guys. Would have been amazing, but got another chance in a few days.
Back on the horse. That's the way it goes.
Which part?
I want to bet Denver so bad. I want to take 4 so bad, but I know they're going to lose. I know Bo Nix stinks, and Andy Reid is off the bye. I don't know if there's a question there. I just know I want to bet Denver, and it's not going to cover at +4.
Man, why? Oh, man. I just feel like everyone is just so sure about Kansas City, and we're so sure about Baltimore, even though they're both having a down year. And I feel like everyone talks about them kind of the same. And I hear you, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like Kansas City is still like a little shaky to me. Like, I feel like they're a little shaky to me. And overall, I do like the Broncos. And yeah, Bo Nix maybe isn't the best right now, but he's shown us he could be good. And I feel like he's probably a guy that's going to like, he's going to play up to this game. I think he kind of like sometimes they play down to their competition, but I also feel like Sean Payton's going to have them ready and is going to have a game plan for Bo Nix so that at the end of this game, at the very least, people aren't saying what you're saying, that he stinks and he's not good. I think Sean Payton, he definitely pays attention, and he doesn't want to look like his quarterback is a reflection of him and his play calling a little bit. So I think he wants to look good on this big stage playing against Andy Reid. So I think it will be a good game, and 4 is tough. Maybe tease it up a little bit to 5 or 6, make you feel a little bit better.
Mm. Maybe. I'll bet it, and it's going to lose. Yeah. Joe, I'm going to take the 4. I'm going to take 4, and they're not going to cover.
I'm with you. I have this same thought process on the game. I want to take Denver. I just don't know that I'm going to be able to take Denver. But now, yeah, it's going to be at 4. It's going to probably keep climbing. We'll see. What about – okay, so if I look at these recent prime time games, it's been ugly, man. We had, terrible. What, 10-7 on Thursday, 10-7 on Monday. So your team – your new team is playing tomorrow, New England.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't believe the Jets won that game. 54 passing yards from Fields, and they end up winning their second game in a row. The number's up to 13. Patriots favored by 13. What do you think?
Drake May, baby. Drake May. Yeah. Drake May. I think I said it on the Greenlight show. I just feel like the New England Patriots, everyone in that building is on the same page. I think Vrabel has every single person, and I talked about this on the show. I've been a Stephon Diggs fan for a long time, and he's a diva. The way Vrabel has coached him up and the way he has changed in that locker room to help out the younger guys, and he still has a role. He's still involved. Maybe he's not putting up all the stats, but he's an intricate part of that offense, and he scores for them. He makes big-time plays. I just feel like the Patriots just all around, they're on the same page. And then their defense, like the number one run-stop defense, and as an ex-D lineman, being in a defensive room, your first priority for any defense is to stop the run. And they're doing that week by week. And just with an offense that is going to put points up, you're scoring touchdowns or kicking field goals. You're not punting a lot. It's one of those things. If you can knock out the run and get those pass rushers and blitzes and open up your defense, it just makes everything. And they're just playing complimentary football, and it's hard to see them losing like any of these games. And Thursday night is tricky because it's a short week, but I think Vrabel's going to have those guys ready. And the Jets, yeah, they had a nice little spark last week, but even though it's a divisional game, I feel like it might be exciting, but Patriots probably boat race them.
I could see it. Yeah. I'm out of questions, but I wanted to do you a solid. I was motoring around Costco the other day, right?
Yes.
And I thought you would appreciate these, the caramel s'mores. Have you had these yet?
No, I haven't.
Next time you get the munchies, the caramel s'mores are unbelievable. You go to Costco, get these. They say the serving size is one. I had about five last night. Oh, Nate, these have your name all over them. Oh, you got to. The caramel s'mores.
That's so funny you say that, because my niece, she's a first-time Girl Scout, and she just hit me up yesterday, and I had to put in a big order of cookies that are going to be coming in a few weeks.
Tag-alongs?
You already know. They're all new names now. Like, all the old stuff. I like the Samoas, and they're like, what's Samoas? And I was like, what? I was like, have I not bought cookies? And they're all different names, but they're all good. This time of year, it's kind of crazy. I gotta pick up my gym regimen, because there's gonna be a lot of snacks holiday season.
Nate, this time of year, you're like, if you don't watch a show for like 2 months, you turn it on. It's just Joe and Sam being super puffy every year around this
snacks
time.
Snack time, man. So good. Oh man!
All right, Nate, we'll check in with you next week. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Nate Collins with the Green Light Podcast. Make sure you check him out over there. Good stuff. How about our Heisman watch? We give you an update there next. Joe O, Sammy P. This is Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, sometimes you want the off-air show to be on the air. I say at this point, who the hell cares? But maybe another time, maybe we'll file that conversation coming up. This is Bet Sweats, Joe O, Sammy P. Thanks for hanging out. We're here weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon. We thank Kate Constable, Jay Kassan, for filling in for us yesterday on the company holiday. But we're here back for the rest of the week. And since we were gone yesterday, Sam, we didn't get to do our weekly Heisman watch, but we'll just delay it by a day and take a look there at the top of the odds boards over at BetMGM. We'll use those numbers for this conversation. Plus 160, Julian Sain remains the favorite. So Gus was saying in the moment that Mendoza had his Heisman moment. Just give him the Heisman is what he was screaming. Mendoza is the second favorite at BetMGM, plus 175. Then we get a gap. So it's Sain 160, Mendoza 175, very close. Third favorite, Ty Simpson, plus 550. Marcel Reed, plus 750. Then a significant drop off into the 25-30 range with Jeremiah Smith, Diego Pavia, and Gunnar Stockton. All right, where does this conversation start, Sam? saying Mendoza 1-2, the two top teams in the Big Ten, likely the two teams are going to meet in the Big Ten championship. These quarterbacks will face off at some point.
I don't think Fernando Mendoza is the best player in college football. I don't even think it's close. But we are now driving home a narrative that Indiana has been elevated and kept at that level or raised to another level. Like last year, Mendoza's not there. It's Curtis Rourke, the former Ohio quarterback who transferred in and got Indiana into the playoff. And then everybody expected all summer that Indiana would take a step back, right? Well, they got a better quarterback now, and that's Mendoza. He's a good quarterback. I don't think he's great. He's playing in a very good system with an awesome offensive line, great receivers, and a solid running game. Was he the Heisman for 3.5 quarters against Penn State? By the way, Indiana was a 15-point favorite on the road. 15. And they squeak out a win. They stay undefeated. Number two team in the rankings. All that's fine and dandy, but he wasn't good. He was great late in that final drive. He was unbelievable. But for three quarters, he was blech. And I don't think there's a superstar player this year. I mean, are any of these guys like putting up crazy numbers? No. Saying that Ohio State has better numbers technically, and then you look and he's got three NFL receivers. And then you got Simpson, whose numbers aren't as good as Saiyan's, but he's playing a tougher schedule. So I think you could give it to any of the three. I would not bet either of the guys at plus 160, plus 175. No, not happening. Simpson's like 556 to 1. I have Simpson, full disclosure, at 20. I know Paul has some Simpson too, and he added on. If I didn't have a bet, I would bet Simpson. I just don't understand this infatuation for Fernando Mendoza. He's good. I just don't think he's Heisman good. And I could be very wrong there. I just feel like they're giving it more to the team and the situation than the player.
I think they also love the fact, the media, the voters, that he's good with the media, that he's really good on a mic. I'd seen that multiple times, and I was walked away thinking, oh, man, the media really is going to want to give it to him. They're really going to want to give him that award. And the TV coverage has been pushing. No matter what network he's playing on, they are pushing Mendoza for Heisman. They really are. It'd be great for Indiana football. To your point about the strength of the quarterback position this year, I want to read you this tweet because I thought it was pretty interesting. And it's something we all know, but it puts it to numbers, which kind of hammers home the point. A good college football follow is the tailgate tent, and he follows Heisman year after year, does a good job with it, has hit some big numbers in the past. Fact of the matter is no QB is anywhere near Heisman pace this year. The last seven Heisman quarterback winners average 365 yards per game, 3.8 touchdowns per game. Okay? Last seven winners, 365 yards per game, 3.8 touchdowns per game. And then he breaks down the guys at the top this year. Saiyan, 279 yards, 2.7 touchdowns. Simpson, 283 yards, 2.6 touchdowns. Mendoza, 258 yards, 3.1 touchdowns. Stockton, 262 yards, 2.4 touchdowns. We're talking about all these guys being a full touchdown off of the pace of what a normal Heisman quarterback is, but there's nobody saying it's going to be anybody but a quarterback. But do we have that other player? Maybe. This is when people are screaming, Love. It's Love. I don't know. The problem is they're not playing anybody, Notre Dame, down the final stretch. I don't know that it's going to be Love, and I'm not hearing people give Love any love for the Heisman award. I think he's 40 to 1. That's the best number that you can find. So given the games that they have left, no conference championship, I don't think it's going to be Love. So it's just going to be, I don't want to say mediocre. It's just going to be one of these quarterbacks that are meh, that wins.
And we remember the list in the summer, the guys at the top, Arch yep. Manning, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers, right? So none of the guys that we thought, not you and I, but everybody thought. I mean, those were four of the top five names on every sports book's list. Arch Manning was 5-1 in August going into September. And, you know, I think we were so convinced that because it wasn't a quarterback last year, it'll have to be a quarterback this year. I don't know, though, man. If I needed a game-winning drive, let's just put it this way. Paul, can we play 3-2-1 here? Get in here, Paul.
3-2-1.
If you have the ball down 4 and you're facing, let's give a decent defense out there, Ohio State, right? Well, I guess you can't take Sayan then. But let's pretend Sayan's on a different team. Sayan's on a different team, Simpson, Mendoza. You need a touchdown against Ohio State. Who do you want? Can we 3-2-1 it?
3-2-1 Simpson.
Yeah, Simpson.
I did think about Mendoza, though. I was thinking about Mendoza, and that's recency bias because of what we just saw. But I know he did struggle most of that game.
He also, I mean, look, the kid made a hell of a catch in the back of the end zone. And
I know. How many receivers are making that catch?
He missed a wide open guy like 2 or 3 plays before. You know, I don't know. Also, do you have to consider Marcel Reed? Like, I'm thinking of the Notre Dame comeback where he made those plays at the end. That's when you do the 3-2-1 for this question. I think he's number 2 for me.
They have to win the SEC championship, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying for Sam's question. Yeah, 100%.
Sure. Yeah, I was just taking the top 3 favorites, but I don't think there's this narrative now that whoever wins the Big Ten title game, that quarterback is going to win the Heisman. I disagree. Mm. What if Simpson and Reed play in a 35-34 shootout?
Yeah.
The winner of that game might be the Heisman Trophy winner. None of these guys are decided, like, runaways. I mean, you got three guys at 550 or less, so the books don't know.
Are we sure that the voters aren't going to come to this realization in the next month and say, you know what? None of these guys are great. Let's give it to the best receiver or running back.
The problem with Love is that he sort of shares the backfield with Price. And right. I don't know that there's this infatuation for Marcus Freeman to force feed Love to win a trophy. I think they're all about getting into the playoff and trying to win a championship, where it does feel like Cignetti is trying to get Mendoza the Heisman. That's why they keep running up the score against bad teams. But then you play a decent team and the game's close. Like, I honestly, guys, I don't care what Indiana does against UCLA and Michigan State. Like, those are not Heisman games to me. Well, what's the counter? Well, he just had a game-winning touchdown against Penn State in Happy Valley. I guess he's got the most moments, I guess, going to Oregon and then beating Penn State. But total body of work, it's not that much ahead of everybody else.
And for the Simpson case, it's good it happened this past week. Now we still got some runway for Simpson to catch up. I mean, if he does that in 2 weeks, it's probably ball game. Like, it's great for his case that he has that Heisman moment. I feel like, to Sam's point, there might be an opportunity now that he's got a couple cupcakes and Simpson can put some more highlight reels and moments on tape.
I think you guys are right in saying that Simpson is the bet if you're making a bet today. And I'm looking at where we're going to be in a few weeks from now. I don't expect Simpson to be plus 550, and I don't expect these guys to be 160 and 175 at the top. The reason being is, what is going to get you excited? So saying moving forward, UCLA, Rutgers, and the game is against a bad Michigan team, right? Indiana has Wisconsin, a bye, and then Purdue. So no matter what those two guys do in the next few weeks, there should be no excitement. However, with Alabama, look at this week. All right, we've got Oklahoma, yep. Right? Like, so I think there's going to be that number is going to shorten. If you're looking for a price, I think Simpson, you guys are on it, plus 550. The Reed thing is insane. Just everything that could go Texas A&M's way schedule-wise has. They're literally missing everybody. They're missing all of the top teams. It's amazing in the SEC.
Need Arch.
He's not even in the straw poll. He's not even there. So the Athletic does the straw poll. Mendoza, 68 points. Saiyan 27, Simpson 17, Love 15, Pavia 13, Jeremiah Smith 6. Marcel Reed is not even in the picture.
Wow.
With the Athletic straw poll.
That's so wild.
I guess the voters just don't see it that way. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think Mendoza's 41 points in a poll better than Julian Saiyan and 51 points better than Simpson. To me, that just doesn't feel right.
The on three poll, Mendoza, Simpson, Saiyan. RG3, Simpson 4, Saiyan 3, Mendoza 2. Number one, Jacob Rodriguez. Linebacker, Texas Tech.
Oh, shut the hell up.
Not listed on the per and odds. I couldn't find a number. Jacob Rodriguez. All right, power rankings next. This is BetSwitz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.